Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 18. America's at a crossroads. You know what I preached last Sunday morning. There's just one more Sunday before November the 3rd. I'm not preaching this morning necessarily on that topic. I just want you to know there's something bigger. America is at a crossroads. Oh, I got to get the microphone on. I forgot to turn it on for the live stream. All right, America is at a crossroads. We need to understand how important November the 3rd is. On November the 3rd, America chooses a direction. 57 million evangelicals didn't even vote in 2016. I am praying, along with other preachers, that a silent majority rises up and votes Bible. Last Sunday morning's message, right? You vote pro-life, pro-family, and pro-Israel. I'm not re-preaching that this morning. What I want to preach this morning is that we would prepare our hearts. I want to call America to repentance this morning. I want to call the church to revival. Because no matter what happens on November the 3rd, it doesn't solve America's problems. It's a direction. And we need to vote righteousness and vote morality. And vote pro-life, pro-family, and pro-Israel. And there's only one platform that is allowing that to happen. But it doesn't, even if it goes our way, it doesn't fix America's soul. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. But we need revival. I am so hungry for revival. Is there anybody else here hungry and thirsty for God just to visit America? For God just to take over in His church? We are such a narcissistic people. We are so self-centered. Everything is all about us. And for too many, that's how they're voting next Tuesday or on November the 3rd. They're voting about themselves, voting their pocketbook, voting whatever, you know, whatever, however you want to identify it, instead of voting Bible and voting God. And if America ever accomplishes the will of God, God's perfect will for this country, then the church has got to be revived. It does. Been raining a lot lately. Man, we had a wonderful summer. I said it several times, afraid that somehow I was going to jinx it, but it never happened. I said, man, what great weather we had right from the beginning of summer, right on through September, almost Labor Day, right there. But ever since then, it's been raining every single day. It's like living in Seattle or London, England, or, you know, every day. What time is it going to rain today? You know, that's kind of what it's felt like. And so this message doesn't really fit that picture, that mindset this morning. But in 1 Kings in chapter 18, and let me give you just a little bit of background. And I'm trusting that this morning, I'm no Elijah. Man, I'm not an Old Testament prophet. I don't think I'm eloquent. I don't think I'm real learned. I know I'm not real wise. I'm learning what the Bible says. I know what the Word of God says. I know the great doctrines of the Word of God. I am educated, but even an adult can get educated. You know, I've got those advanced degrees, but that just means you know how to take a test, you know how to write a paper. That's all that means. And if we had the power of Elijah this morning in the pulpit and the power of Elijah in America, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole purpose. And the Northern Kingdom, Israel, was being judged by God. When we pick up in chapter 18, Israel had already experienced 3 years without rain. And God said to Elijah in chapter 17, I think it's verse 1, there's not going to be any rain. It's over. My people are worshiping Balaam. That's Baal, plural form. That's the main god of the Canaanites. The Israelites had turned into worshiping false gods. God still had a people, but the nation was worshiping false gods. God says, that's enough. I'm going to send pestilence. Rather, I'm going to send no rain. It's going to be a drought. And the result is there's going to be a famine. And now people are getting desperate. King Ahab is a wicked king of Israel. In fact, some people believe he was the worst and most wicked king Israel ever had. And God makes that announcement to Elijah, no more rain. Verse 1 of chapter 18, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. He's now got Israel's attention. Is that what it's going to take for America to come to God? Is it going to take pestilence and famine? And really, we haven't suffered yet. We haven't. Nobody's scrambling for bread. Is that what it's going to take? You say it'll never happen in America. You are a proud fool if you think we stand on our own. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah. Obadiah, probably the writer, the Old Testament prophet, writer of the book of Obadiah, but he was a man that feared God. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, King Ahab says to Obadiah, you go that way, I'll go this way. We got to find grass. Ahab's personal herds were suffering greatly. In fact, they were going to die. He said, we got to look for brooks. We got to find grass. Now, I got to summarize some of this here this morning. Ahab was sending Obadiah to find grass. You know what their need was? Water. They needed water. I'm not looking for a bale of hay. I'm not looking for a flash in the pan kind of flash of righteousness around an American election. I'm looking for a Holy Spirit revival. Rain. I'm talking about a gully washer, a deluge, a kind of monsoon of the Holy Spirit, if I can say that without sounding wacky, where God takes over in his church. I hunger for that. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. Prophet Isaiah chapter 44. In verse 3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thine offspring. Go to the 23rd Psalm. I'm not sure where I'm going with this message all of a sudden, but Psalm 23. Boy, is that scary. Psalm 23. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's provisions. Right here, right now. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's empowered. My cup runneth over. Man, more than enough. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I desire for my home. That's what I desire for my family. That's what I desire for the church of Jesus Christ. I'm no super saint. I struggle just like everybody else. I have the same want-tos and the same desires. The flesh still is powerful in my life. I know what it is to be distracted by a trinket or by something that's a flash in the night and kind of gets my attention. But what we need is a visitation from God. We need rain from heaven in America. We need, and I'm not trying to minimize the Holy Spirit. There's only one Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit is here. He has energized the church of Jesus Christ. The problem is we aren't surrendered to him like we ought to be. That's what revival is about. It is a surrendering to God. If we will do that, he'll set a table before in the presence of our enemies. Our cup will run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, no matter what the culture has for us. God will provide. God will empower. God will bless. Man, I want to live that kind of life. Goodness and mercy? Man, I want it. I want it. My cup runneth over? Man, I want that. I'm praying that God would send rain. Go back to 1 Kings 18. I know you know the story about Elijah and the battle on Mount Carmel. And how Elijah finally stands before Ahab. Ahab comes to Elijah, and Elijah says, listen, we're going to meet up on the mountain. We're going to meet on Mount Carmel. First of all, Ahab accuses Elijah of the wrongdoing of the famine there in Israel. You mark my words. If everything goes wrong, we are not far away from the Church of Jesus Christ being blamed for all the ills in America. That's happened before. That happened in Germany. That can happen again. You say, oh, that is a stretch. Oh, no. It's not a stretch at all. In fact, it's going on in America right now. And we have leaders in this state, and that's their mindset right now. You have to know that. So Ahab blames Elijah. He says, yeah, you're the troublemaker. Ahab said, and Elijah said, oh, I'm not the troublemaker. Man, let's read a little bit here. Verse 18 says, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Balaam is plural for Baal. Again, the main god of the Canaanites, the main god of their world. And that's America today. That's where we're at. I don't like saying that. I don't like preaching that. But America is a pagan nation. America has a Christian heritage, Judeo-Christian heritage, and we're still reaping some of the benefits. And God has always had a people, and God has a people here in America. And praise God and bless God for every New Testament church that is standing up and preaching the Bible. And people are getting saved in those churches. And glory to God, God has a people in America. But as a whole, America is worshiping the God of the Canaanites. America is worshiping the gods, Balaam, of this world and of this culture. And a lot of Christians have gotten sucked into it. And it's a dangerous thing. And that's what was going on in Israel. That was what was going on with the northern tribes. That's exactly it. I'm not the one that's troubled Israel. You're worshiping the gods of Balaam. Verse 19 says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves. Those 400 prophets of the groves were likely the prophets that Jezebel, the wicked queen, had been supporting herself. They had paid preachers. So they had 450 prophets, false prophets of the prophets of Baal, and then the prophets of the groves, 400, that which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel. By the way, that's a state religion right there. It says, and Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people. It's 850 people. Prophets, false prophets versus Elijah. I have a lot of respect for Elijah. He faltered. You know, he wasn't the perfect man. That encourages me too. But he's willing to stand up to all the high muckety mucks, the 850 false prophets. And they're going to meet on a high forested mountaintop, right close to the Mediterranean Sea. How long halt ye between two opinions? This is the preacher. This is Elijah. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. But there's a crowd gathering. Elijah, and I say this not knowing him and not knowing his personality, and I'll meet him one day. And but he's a little bit of a showman. He is a pulpiteer. It says in verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves. They choose the one they want, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods. You'll need every one of them. Call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, that makes sense. It is well spoken. Elijah, you are right. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first. You go first, for you're many. It's going to take you a while. And call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called the name, called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us!" But there was no voice, nor any that answereth. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now they're getting desperate. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, too busy for you, or he is pursuing." By the way, that means he's going to the bathroom. And Elijah's just a little bit of a showman. "Or he is in a journey, or peradventure, he's taking a nap. He sleepeth, and he must be awake." I can hear the people laughing as Elijah is mocking the false prophets. They look so silly. They're running around, jumping up on the altar. We're going to read, they're cutting themselves. They're bleeding themselves, trying to get the attention of their God. Oh, and they are embarrassed. "And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass that when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice," they're out of energy now, "and there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded." It was almost like Balaam isn't real. It's almost like he was a god of their own making. And they carried him around. "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. All the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord." It's unfortunate the altar was in disrepair. "He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed." We're really not sure, but that's a big trench. "And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces." And again, Elijah is a tough old bird. If I don't get this far in the message, he ends up beating Ahab to where he sends it. Ahab's in a chariot, and Elijah beats him there, and where they're going is 25 miles away. All right, so Elijah is a tough man. He's a preacher. He's a preacher man. He's a prophet of God. All right, and he's a little bit of a showman. I can see him. Everything's dead quiet. No more wind. The prophets of Baal, they're all wore out. They're laying around over there somewhere, kind of scattered on. Some of them are weak from letting blood out of themselves. And one at a time, Elijah picks up a stone and he brings it to where the altar was, and he puts it in its proper place. Goes back and finds another stone, and he brings it, and the whole while people are watching. Verse 33, digs a trench around the altar. "And he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." We really don't know how many gallons were in a barrel. The word is actually big earthen jars is what it is. I do know for them to get the water, unless Elijah prepared ahead of time, it was a trip down the mountain, either to the Mediterranean Sea or the creek that's mentioned, Kidron, that's mentioned here in a little bit. "And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water." So this thing is soaked and wet. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." I have done exactly what you told me to do. That's why Elijah was so bold. He was obeying God. God told him what to do. He said, after they're done, you repair my altar. You dig a big ditch around that altar. You put the wood in order, and you cut that bullock up, and you put it in order as well. And then you bring up 12 barrels of water. All right? "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this thy people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, I guess so, and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." It's going to rain. Now, there isn't even a cloud in the sky yet, but he looks to the king and says, "It's going to rain. God's people have repented." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, got to strengthen himself. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth and he put his face between his knees. This is a position of thankfulness. It's a position of humility. It's a position of being awestruck in the presence of God. He just witnessed a mighty miracle and he knew it wasn't from his hand. It's a position of unworthiness and he's crying out to God for God's will to be done. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." This is perseverance in prayer on Elijah's part. And it came to pass, and we need that, by the way, to get revival. We've got to be so desperate that we put our head between our knees, we bury our hands, our face in our hands, and we pray out to God. Seven times Elijah did this. "Oh God, I know we're unworthy. Oh God, I know we're a sinful nation. But God, we need this rain. God, would you send revival? Lord, would you stir your people? God, would you set the church on fire? May we repent of our sins." And God, you answer those prayers. It came to pass the seventh time, verse 44, he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not, because it is going to rain." That gully washer, that spiritual monsoon that we so desire. He said, "Ahab, you better get some food in your belly. You better mount up the chariot and you better head down. You better head down the mountain in the valley of Jezreel. Head up that slope as quickly as you can." It says, "And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." That's 25 miles. That's 25 miles. The hand of the Lord was on the Old Testament prophet. Can you imagine? And this is my little boy imagination. Here's Ahab in his chariot. Yeah, yeah, and he can hardly see where he's going. And he's going, he's pushing those horses as fast as they'll go. And he hears something off to his side. And he looks, and there goes Elijah running by him. And it beats him to Jezreel. Man, what a mighty man of God. Now, he falls right after this. He falters. Let me say that. He falters right after this. But that's not my message this morning. The message is simply this. We need rain from heaven. We need revival that can only come from heaven. This wasn't a very eloquent message here this morning. But man, are you dissatisfied with where you are spiritually? Do you recognize how weak and anemic many of us are? Man, the first time a tragedy comes, the first time bad news comes, the first time we hit our thumb with our hammer, man, we just kind of fall all apart. Are we really the spiritual giants we are called of God to be? Become dissatisfied with where you are and ask God to take over. Surrender to God. Man, allow God to build you into the people that he would have us to be. Build me into the person he would have me to be. Put myself in the place where God can bless me. Now, if we're not careful, and when the preacher doesn't preach against sin, I know it happens, and it happens in every area of life, and the preacher struggles with sin just like everybody else. Man, it's just the way it is. As a matter of fact, you may not know this, but this is Pastor Appreciation Month. I thought I might mention that just in case. But I see that there's some kind of special turnover that has come all the way from Detour this morning. It's over there on my desk. I look forward to that. I'll read the note too, but I'm looking forward to that turnover. And then there were three apple pies on my desk. And there were three cards, one for Pastor Pastor Rader and Pastor Bill and Pastor Josh. Well, I prayed about it, and I think I know how that goes. So I piled all three pies up in one pile underneath my card. And Pastor Bill and Pastor Josh, you got a card in there on my desk somewhere. You might want to check that out later on. We're all prone to wander. And Debbie told me again just last night, you know, if the church people knew what you were really like, because we were laughing about something. If they knew what you were so undignified. I said, God, I think I got that from my dad. Have you ever heard my dad tell a joke? And he just laughs before he ever gets to the punchline, and everybody's just laughing because he's laughing. That's just the joy of the Lord, you know, that kind of thing. And she just told me that last week. She reminded me, I had feet of clay last night. I won't tell you what I was doing. We were laughing, just having a big time in my living room. I said, what if the church people could see? Your ministry would be ruined. Now, don't think I was doing something wicked. I wasn't, all right? That's not it. But, you know, so here's Elijah, and I'm no Elijah. And he cries out to God. First of all, God tells him, I'm sending a famine. I'm sending a drought, and the result is going to be a famine. People are going to die. I got to get Israel's attention. Ahab, their leader, is the most wicked king Israel ever had. Now the nation wholly is almost given over to idolatry. God has a people there, but the majority of the nation, they're serving the gods of the Canaanites, the world. That's what they're doing. They're becoming just like the world. Man, I got to preach against sin from time to time, just so I know who I am. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. By the way, went all summer and never preached on modesty. Ladies, you know what? I've kind of haven't said anything for a while, and give them an inch and take a mile. And give them a mile, they're going to take 2 miles. So I'm reminding you again, let's put ourselves in a place of blessing. Let's not just be like the world. And forget about that immodesty stuff. Examine your heart. What's immodest? Is that immodest? Yeah, well, maybe I shouldn't go there. Maybe I shouldn't wear that. Maybe I shouldn't talk that way. You know, I just it's very important. We'll not have revival in America until America, the church, puts itself in the place of blessing. Elijah thundered against sin. That's why Jezebel hated his guts and wanted him dead. We got to have that rain. That place of blessing, revival, brought back to life. I say this using Old Testament terminology. I hope you know what I'm saying. We need God to visit America. We need God to take over in his church. We need people to weep over personal sin and recognize the result of that sin is others go to hell. We need to understand that without the enabling of God, the Holy Spirit, it's just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It's just religious motion. It's religianity. And I've had it up to here with that. Man, I want God's power. We don't have a lot of time. November 3rd is a direction we'll choose as a nation. And many of us were praying for right. And many a preacher praying for righteousness. I know I pray with them 3 times a week. But it isn't going to fix America. We need to hear from heaven. I'm done. I'm trying to figure out how to close this. So God help me. In your home, is God there? Or do you even make time for him? Are you so busy that you don't have any time to confess sins? Are you so busy that you don't gather around the throne? And by busy, I mean watching ball games and television shows and going here and going there. That's a shame. We need God to visit your home, my home, visit his church, this church, and visit America.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.